Chapter 18, Christ Jesus, by Juan Manuel Garcia de Alba, Jesus Divinity. The formulas of the first Christological councils serve to express, in metaphysical terms, the convictions of those who had made Jesus the center of their religious life, the object of their hope, and the absolute criterion determining the conduct of their life. Jesus is God like the Father, one in being with the Father, of the same nature as the Father. All of these phrases were ways to understand and express the eternal meaning of Jesus' relationship with God and with human beings. Later, the formula was canonized and became a sort of saving, almost magical expression, as it gradually became disconnected from its life-giving experience of faith. In our time, believing in Jesus' divinity for many people means accepting an affirmation that says nothing to them and makes no difference to the way they live their lives. If we want to ask ourselves today what our faith in Jesus' divinity means, we will have to lay special emphasis on its relevance for ordinary life. Without abandoning the formula, Jesus' divinity is a confession that refers to the value of Jesus' life, a validity and value that are permanent, and to our relationship with Him, a universal value. It is the same as saying that Jesus' life is worth as much as God's life, and it has value for each and every one of us to the degree that we associate ourselves with Him. Believing in Jesus' divinity means accepting Jesus as the absolute and determining factor. The proclamation that the Church makes of Jesus' divinity is first and foremost an invitation to decide, and for each person to give Jesus the same importance that the Church gives Him in its faith. It is not a call to accept a statement. It is a call to accept a meaning. Whoever gives Jesus the absolute, decisive, and fundamental place in his personal life is accepting that Jesus is God. Individuals have the obligation and the responsibility to make a free decision regarding the person of Jesus as he is presented in the gospel. The essence of faith, which is responsible action by a person, implies that the decision must be free and that each person must make it in his own personal solitude. His personal decision will lead him to a community of confession and belief, to a faith community, and this community will help to nurture his faith. The community that nurtures faith must never supplant each believer's personal decision and responsibility. It makes no sense to declare that Jesus is God and then to go on living with an attitude that is closed to the gospel. Believing that Jesus is God means making Jesus the decisive and ultimate criterion of our own life. Making Jesus the central and ultimate reference of our religious attitude, recognizing that Jesus is the one who will have the ultimate say in evaluating our life as Redeemer and Judge. It is up to Jesus to evaluate each person's life on a personal level and before the community and the world, not just in the community and the world. The evaluation is not given only in the living of our own life, but also as a total evaluation in history. Knowing that what we believe, recognize, love, and worship in God is to be found in Jesus, and likewise, what God has accepted, loved, chosen, and forgiven in us is also to be found in Jesus. The specifically Christian element consists of recognizing in our life that Jesus is God and not just making a confession of faith. It is not about making a theoretical statement. It is about choosing an option that has practical implications. Believing in the divinity of Jesus is an act of authentic faith. It is not something that emerges from an experience of manifest reality, nor is it an inevitable conclusion of certain premises. Faith in Jesus' divinity is an act that transcends people's perceptive capacity. Jesus' divinity is not a fact that can be experienced directly. It does not belong to the realm of the phenomenological. It is an interpretation of the person of Jesus, revealed directly by God. It was not flesh and blood that revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. With this expression, St. Matthew identifies the source of faith in Jesus, although the specific event and Peter's confession can have different interpretations. Faith in Jesus is not something we perceive, but something we accept. Faith is an interpretation of what is perceived through the senses. And this perceived reality, the person of Jesus, can be interpreted in a variety of ways. Christian faith is a way of interpreting Jesus' life, person, and mysteries. That is why we can say that believing that Jesus Christ is God is an act of complete freedom. Nothing forces us to believe in Him. In fact, there is no conclusive argument. Jesus' divinity is not an evident fact. What is a fact is that many of Jesus' contemporaries saw what Jesus did and heard what He said, and yet they not only did not interpret His person along the lines of faith, but they wrote Him off as a demon-possessed madman. Believers may find reasons or motivations for justifying their faith, but not for demonstrating it. The proofs of Jesus' divinity are really more like reasons that support faith once it is given. They are not premises that lead necessarily to faith. If you decide on faith, it will modify your stance in the world and your attitudes toward others and toward God. It will become the foundation of your values, of your confidence and hopes. Faith in Jesus will be a light that will illuminate all of your thoughts, your decisions, your values, your personal relationships, your activities. Faith in Jesus' divinity is a gift of grace. The grace of believing freely is received by accepting the life, message, and person of Jesus, along with his saving action. In a certain sense, the way this reality is expressed is not especially important, since our expressions are never a perfect fit as far as reality is concerned. And what does the actual saving is the reality that has been given to us in Jesus, more than the way we put this reality into words. If a person accepts Jesus and accepts him the way he is and was, she is implicitly accepting this thing we call Jesus' divinity. It is like when a person jumps off a cliff. The chasm receives her as she is, not as she imagined herself to be. After all, what determines truth is reality, not the idea we have of it. Faith, as content, cannot be identified with a certain expression, because reality affirmed by faith surpasses our capacity to express it. The reasons supporting faith in Jesus' divinity are the following. Jesus had an authority that surpassed that of Moses and the prophets, and that corresponded only to God. That is why he made absolute demands. He had the power to perform miracles. The eschatological kingdom of God came through Jesus and in Jesus. The saving events of the end of time occurred in Jesus. They were events that showed who Jesus was. If it through the finger of God that I cast out devils, then know that the kingdom of God has overtaken you. Jesus has made it clear that in his love and mercy, in his forgiveness of sinners and love for the outcast, the kingdom of God was already there, as was God himself. He forgave sins. The Jews were convinced that only God could forgive sins. Jesus is God by virtue of having been conceived miraculously through the power of the Holy Spirit in a virgin woman. His honor and glory give witness to his identity. Jesus, by passing through life, passion, and death, is seated at the right hand of the Father, which means equality with God. The underlying and ultimate reason for believing in Jesus' divinity is the interpretation that the evangelists have made of him, the New Testament, and from there, the interpretation that the church has made of him over the centuries and in the context of different cultures. Calling Jesus God and one in being with the Father can only refer to the extent to which Jesus is involved in God and God in Jesus. In the context of faith, the only context where the phrase Jesus is God makes any sense, the expression is not so much metaphysical, essentialist, as historical. God has revealed himself to us, given himself to us, and has joined us to himself in Jesus of Nazareth. And that is why Jesus is God. Nowhere in the New Testament is any attempt made to affirm Jesus' divinity in an essential sense, nor does the gospel try to identify Jesus with God. According to exegetes, the passage in St. John, "The Father and I are one," is not meant in an essentialist sense, but in a referential sense. In the conclusion to John's gospel, when Jesus is addressed as "My Lord and my God," he is being associated with God and with the believer, but the expression is not affirming that God and Jesus are one and the same. It is not being said that God is Jesus, but it is being said that Jesus is God. In other words, Jesus is the expression, the gift, the communication of God. The Father-Son relationship is a good way to express the otherness, the relationship, and the dependence. This is why the custom of calling Jesus the Son of God, a more biblical and existential formula, has been preferred over the more metaphysical and less historical formula of affirming simply that Jesus is God. The acclamation of Jesus as God is a response for adoring and worshiping God that has been revealed to people in Jesus. The confession of Jesus' divinity is a recognition of God's sovereignty and lordship in Jesus and through Jesus. All of Jesus' titles are different ways of affirming a single message, that God has revealed himself fully to us in Christ, and that Christ is not just a sign alluding to God, but he who makes him present as that which God himself wants to be and can be for people, their salvation, their God. The New Testament passages that speak of Jesus as God are not trying to offer a definition, but rather an expression of the function that Christ fulfills for us. To describe the reality of Christ, the church, both the early church and the modern church, made up names and titles for Christ, all of them necessary and inadequate. The title of God, which must be seen in connection with all the other titles that express Jesus' historical reality, is the basis for assuming the paradox that a particular man is God, and above all, that God is this man and not another, that he reveals himself and communicates through Jesus. Jesus' supreme title could very well be Jesus is God, but that does not mean that it is the only title, or even the ultimate title, or the last word in expressing and understanding, in religious and theological terms, the mystery of Jesus. Jesus is not God in the abstract. The God that is given and revealed to us in Jesus is the incarnate God, associated with the singularity of human beings, with their circumstances and their history, the God of the covenant associated with the world. It is important to avoid the following interpretations. Identifying the subject Jesus with the predicate God, as in the formula, I am so-and-so. This is a monophysite interpretation, i.e., it points to the same unique reality. Jesus should not be equated with God. A representative interpretation should also be avoided, in the sense of Jesus being the one who stands in for God. In this interpretation, Jesus replaces or substitutes God among people. Jesus does not stand in for God among people, and he does not stand in for people before God. Another angle that is not recommended is seeing Jesus as a simple participant in what God is, or giving him a functional identity in view of the role he plays among human beings. The formula, Jesus is God, plants the person in front of Jesus and indicates the root of the mystery and uniqueness of Jesus. His unity with God makes it possible for him to be for us what God is. The living and true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is unthinkable without Jesus, and Jesus in turn is unthinkable without God. There is a risk that a person might think that he knows who Jesus is by stating that Jesus is God and man at the same time, one person in two natures. It would be sort of like knowing that water is a compound made up of two atoms of hydrogen and one of oxygen, when in real life experience, we know water by being thirsty. The confession of Jesus' divinity should not be a theoretical statement, like a formula in chemistry or algebra. It should be an affirmation that expresses in words the witness that we bear to Jesus in our lives. It makes no sense to declare his divinity if there are no feelings or attitude of adoration in our heart. In the case of Jesus and in the case of God, reflection is not what leads to faith. What leads to faith in Jesus is admiration, the call to follow him, and our response, together with praise and worship. In the case of Jesus, a person needs to respond first and then ask questions. The basis of Jesus' filial relationship and his divine condition is not biological or genetic. It involves his whole person. So in order to know just how much Jesus is God, we need the whole gospel, as well as a personal encounter with him. Jesus is God because he is the complete, absolute, and only expression of God. The fact that God gives himself totally to people through Jesus, and that he gives himself to Jesus in what is human, that is what makes Jesus God. God's giving himself to Jesus eternally, totally, definitively, absolutely, and ultimately is what in the end constitutes divine fatherhood toward Jesus. And the fact that Jesus is the Son of God by nature means that part of God's being, from the beginning, is to express himself and give himself to Jesus through what is human. And that part of Jesus' being is to be God's perfect and natural expression.